Welcome to the Studio Spares Lockdown podcast, in which we talk to professionals in different parts of music and audio industries about the effects of the virus and lockdown. And importantly, we also look to the future and think about post-lockdown and what it means to musicians, voiceover artists, agencies, venues, and other parts of our industry. Now, in this episode, we're talking voiceovers. Originally an area of work which was very hard to get into and was reserved for a few seasoned professionals. But this has changed over recent years, and with the continuing growth in TV output, animation, e-learning and other digital and online content, there has never been a greater demand for voiceover artists. But how has the industry been affected by the lockdown, and what does the future hold for post-lockdown? To help me answer these and other questions, I'm very pleased to welcome Rachel Naylor, whose familiar voice has helped companies such as Disney, Vauxhall, Persil, and Virgin Media. And Rachel is also the founder of the VoiceOver Network, where she and her team are dedicated to helping, supporting, and strengthening the voiceover industry. We also have a voiceover artist, Alan Shires, whose credits include Costa Coffee, Trust Ford, and Centrepoint, and is also the VoiceOver Network's communications manager. So welcome, guys, and please excuse the very long introduction. How are we doing?
Good. Wonderful. Thank you. Good. Thank you for having us.
No, it's
exciting.
Good. Oh, it is exciting. And now I was with you guys last week on one of your casts, which was...
Yes. The VoiceOver Hour. The VoiceOver Hour live webinar last week. So, that was fantastic. And it was Home Studio Ask the Experts. Oh. And you were one of our, experts, of course.
Let's not go
all
too
home
far.
Studios.
No, it was great. It was really good. So we'll talk more about the VoiceOver Network in a few minutes, because I do want to get into that and just let our members know exactly what you have to offer. But let's talk about you guys to start with. So Rachel, just tell us a little bit about your career as a voiceover artist and how and why you started the VoiceOver Network.
So I'm an actor first and foremost. My grandfather was an actor, so I grew up watching him in films and on stage and was very inspired. So acting was I kind of describe it as my first love. And so from a very young age, I always knew I was going to go into acting. And so I went to drama school, which you do. And at drama school, I got very into Shakespeare and Chekhov and all that kind of stuff and loved it. And we did a lot of work on voice, and we had a voice teacher, and she was pretty tough on everyone, but she was particularly tough on me. And I remember her saying to me at one point, "You should look into going into voiceovers." And at the time I was like, whatever, I'm going to go and work at the National and the RSC and win an Oscar. Voiceovers, whatever. Yeah, of course. And came out of drama school, as you do, and just was like, da-da-da-da. Oh. It's really tough coming out of drama school. It's like tumbleweed. Yeah. So I went and ended up doing lots of different, waitressing and all that kind of stuff. Started doing some theatre and education, and then after a couple of years, I saw an advert. It was in the back of Equity magazine, and it was for a free 2-hour workshop about voiceovers. Okay, I'll go along and check it out. And I went along, and I was fascinated. And I had an amazing experience where I got behind the microphone in this studio and started working on some scripts. And I had a really, really strong feeling. I knew this was where I was meant to be. And it was such a strong feeling. Yeah. Everything in my body was just like, wow, I absolutely loved it with every part of my body. And this is, I'm talking 18 years ago. So it was a very different world, the voiceover world back then. You didn't have home studios unless you were seriously rich. You had to have an agent. That was the only way to get work. And so it was there was no information. There were no events. There was no training. There were no webinars. There was no social media. It was very different. And it was all CDs as well back then. So I remember making my CDs.
Get your pencil in the cassette.
Yes. I know. I showed my kids a cassette the other day, and they just laughed when I described it to them. They thought it was the funniest thing. So back then, and I was somebody who didn't just just land in the voiceover world. It didn't just, you know, I wasn't just plucked and like, da, 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 like, you know, some people. I really struggled to get in, and I bashed on the door, and I, you know, I felt like I, you know, I walked the pavements, and I was rejected and rejected and rejected. And, you know, I kept going and I kept going. And so, you know, I went through a real struggle in the early days of my career, which is partly why I set up the Voiceover Network, because I didn't want anybody else to have to go through what I went through. And I made lots of mistakes. And then I sort of started just reaching out to production companies because agents wouldn't sign me. And it was probably because it was probably more to do with my email or my letter.
Yeah.
And that has so much to do with getting people's attention, how you present yourself. So I started reaching out.
First impressions. Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
And my homemade cassette, bright yellow with all sorts, you know, maybe my branding wasn't quite up to them. up to speed.
Down that road, yeah.
And then I started reaching out to production companies and, just getting my own work. I was like, yeah. So I was kind of one of the early ones who just went around the agents, and then in the end I did start getting an agent and getting work, and it's been an exciting roller coaster ride, but I love voiceovers, and it is I believe it's the best job in the world. Absolutely
fantastic. It takes a long time to be an overnight success, really, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And I talk about voiceovers, you know, and people, I think, you know, it's an interesting one because it was very much a kind of a hidden job in a way. People didn't really talk about it, and those that were doing it were kind of, shh, don't tell anyone, because it's so great, and they were making lots of money, and there were very few of them, and they were just cleaning up. I can't remember what I was going to say there. Where was I going?
It was definitely an exclusive club.
That was it. It was an exclusive club. So people in the industry they didn't want anyone to come into the industry, and they weren't sharing information. So people trying to get into the industry, it was just, you couldn't get in. And so what happened was that with technology and with social media, it just opened it wide open. And suddenly, from being a really closed shop and a kind of exclusive club, lots of people suddenly started finding out about this amazing job where, you know, you can work from home, you can use your acting skills, you can be creative, and you don't have to, you know, be traveling around and going off on tour and all that kind of stuff. So I think for me, it really appealed to me from that.
I think it's the same with many industries as well. I mean, I think we've all followed the same path. It's certainly the same, you know, for the music industry. There was like you were saying, you had to have a lot of money to have a home studio. Yeah. And once you did, then you were able to produce at a high level. Actually, you could put your own records out. You could start to create your own fan base. You could start to sell to that fan base. So in a sense, you avoided or went round, you know, the record companies or whatever. Mm. But and I suppose it's the same for the film industry. As soon as YouTube came along, it allowed a lot of filmmakers, especially, you know, the entry level, to be able to put their work out there and for anybody to find it and to work with it. So I suppose that's very much the case with the voiceover artists. I was also going to say, you made a really good point earlier that you were an actress, and was it twice to say actress or actor? I mean, I don't know what to say anymore.
I don't mind.
I think many of us associate voiceover artists as being in the commercial world, as being adverts, commercials, you know, just that sort of thing. But actually, I mean, it's a huge expanse of work out there, from animation, film, all sorts of content online. I mean, we laughed earlier about the message from my Apple Mac that that all those sorts of things have to be voiced.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when you think on a, you know, if you were to count during the day how many times you hear a voiceover artist, you'd be amazed.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously in lockdown it's slightly different because you're at home, but still, you're still, you know, on your phone, you know, your Alexa, your computer, the TV, the radio, the internet, all sorts of machines in our houses now, you know, have voices, and that's all a person who does that. And one of the big breaks for me was was being the voice of Virgin Media, and I got that. Gosh, that was like 16 years ago. And I'm the voice. Yeah, I'm the voice on the Virgin Media telephones, all their systems, Virgin right. Media, Virgin Mobile, Virgin Business, and it was a funny one because you just don't think about that, and you could still probably people think, oh well, that probably wasn't a lot of work. I recorded every week for 13 years. Yeah.
That's why amazing. I wouldn't have bought Virgin Media, though. That's why I did your voice.
Oh!
Look, I'm going to come back to you in a second, Rachel. So, sorry, Alan, we've kept you waiting there. How you doing?
All right. Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I should also point out that Alan is a musician as well. Ah, oh, so welcome.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Or call me a musician, shall we?
I think he's being modest. I've seen his array of gear and guitars lined up behind him before. So, Alan, you know, so how have you ended up becoming a voiceover artist, and why should I buy Costa coffee?
Yeah, I mean, there's many reasons why to buy a coffee. So we won't touch on that. But yeah, how I got into the industry, similar to Rachel, I started off as an actor. I've been an actor since I was about 9 years old. I started really young. Got my first acting agent at 16. And what I discovered sort of as I got older was the mortgage company doesn't care if I'm waiting for my next job to come through. And that was always a real challenge from the acting side of it, is you never know when the next job's going to come through. And you can have 10 auditions and book nothing, or you can have 10 auditions and book 8 of them. You just never know. So I had to run a day job alongside my acting career, and it was very tiring and very tedious. I found myself in a bit of a catch-22 where I couldn't invest as much time into myself as I'd like to because of the day job, but then the mortgage needed paying, so the day job needed a priority in my life. And then that all changed when I went to a acting conference called Surviving Actors. There was a couple of voiceover companies there, but one of those companies in particular really drew me in. There was a real message of hope, a reference to being able to become self-employed and to leave my day job, all things which really resonated with me. And the presenters with this particular company really had an interest in me. I wasn't just another product, another customer that I was walking by, trying to loosely get me to subscribe, to take all my money. They really had an interest in me. They asked questions about where I was at, gave me some advice about how my acting skills were transferable. And that organization was the VoiceOver Network. So they introduced me to the world of VoiceOver, and I spent a solid year learning. So going on different courses and workshops, studying what the difference is between a soundproof tile and the material between the walls in my studio.
Yeah.
So I really did study quite hard before sort of registering myself as self-employed. But then, yes, after a year of that sort of career change or career development, I became self-employed as a voiceover actor, started reaching out to production companies and agents. And yeah, it's just been an incredible journey since. And the ultimate result was to quit my day job, which of course did happen.
Hey, good man, good man. How do I quit mine? So actually that brings us very nicely to the VoiceOver Network, which I know you touched on earlier, Rachel. And I should point out also that we're Studio Spares as a company is now a partner with VoiceOver Network. Yes. And that's partly because I was, you know, personally, I was really impressed with what you guys were doing and the message behind what you were doing as well. Because yeah. I think you and I had a chat at the beginning, and I'm on various parts of our industry. I'm so passionate, and I really want people to come through and succeed and find work and live from the industry rather than just, you know, just go out and do it at weekends. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a bit more about why you started it and what it actually is and how it helps people?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm totally with you there. And the VoiceOver Network, so our tagline is that the VoiceOver Network is about helping, supporting and strengthening the voiceover industry. And that drives everything we do. And we're really, really passionate about that. The VoiceOver Network started from me going for a drink with three other voiceover artists in Richmond, which is just down the road from me, way back in 2013. And I remember just being like, this is really useful. Like, we should, like, connect more, because voiceover artists are generally very bubbly, you know, outgoing people who like communicating, but we spend a lot of time on our own in a little black box talking to ourselves. Yeah. So getting out is really good. So I basically started a meetup group, going to the pub with other voiceover artists. It was actually originally called the West London Voiceover Artist Meetup Group.
Okay. I'm hearing the word pub a lot as well, to be fair.
Yeah, there was a lot of drinking. It was a terrible, terrible original name. But yeah, so we would just meet up in the pub in West London. And then people from other parts of London started asking, can we come? Yeah, sure. I made it. Then I decided to make it Central London, came to my senses and changed the name to the Voiceover Network. And then made it a regular meetup group. And that's where it really started. It started from networking. And I'm really passionate about networking. I really believe in connecting people. And I love connecting people. So, you know, at these events, I would often bring my clients and be like introducing them, and it would confuse people because they'd be like, wait a minute, I thought we were all supposed to be really competitive and you're just giving away your clients. But I really believe in sharing. Yeah. And I believe in, you know, maybe it's because I'm the third of three kids. I don't know. But yeah, it was drummed into me, just sharing. And so end of 2014, I looked at what I'd created. And I looked at the industry and I thought, okay, I could carry on bumbling along with this little kind of meetup group, or I could try and make a real difference. And then, and 2014 was an interesting year in the voiceover world because things were really, it was a bit of a wild west. Things were exploding. Social media meant that people could find their own clients. Technology was cheaper, so people could set up home studios. Lots of people coming into the industry, lots of people in the industry getting very cross and saying, no, this is our land, get off. So, there was nobody kind of really like looking after voiceover artists. And so I decided to launch the Voiceover Network officially beginning of 2015 as a membership organization, because I wanted to create a safe place for voiceover professionals to come together to help and support each other, to learn, to raise standards, to communicate, to share information, to gain knowledge, to gain confidence, and to ultimately raise the bar, like raise the standards in the industry. And, you know, and I believe that a rising tide raises all boats. And so, I really believe in people coming together and communicating. And so, yeah, having launched beginning of 2015, which was totally crazy. And I remember just feeling like I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, oh, I'll just have a website and suddenly start a magazine and do all these things. And yeah, it's so five and a half years later.
That's Monday taken up with, you know. Yeah.
As well as having my voiceover career and kids and all that sort of stuff. But I'm so proud of what we've created, and we've helped so many people, so many voiceover artists around the world, but not just voiceover artists, because we also have agents, producers and casting directors who are members as well. Because, I believe in people communicating and coming together, and they're all a really important part of our industry. So we now have members based all around the world, which is very exciting, and lots of events. So we've got the magazine, here we go, the Buzz magazine.
Oh, I know that magazine well.
It's the only magazine in the world dedicated to the voiceover industry. So we've got that, and it's in print and online and in English and in Spanish. So,
I think it's important to point out that I actually also believe that, you know, there's real power in community. That absolutely is. And as an outsider to the Voiceover Network, I'm not a member. We just help each other. You invited me to like an online Zoom, what did you call it? Vond event or something?
It's a virtual Vond. So we call our events Vond, Voiceover Network Drinks.
Oh, drinks. That's what it is. Right. Okay. And I have to be honest, I mean, there was real community, and there were voiceover artists speaking openly and drinking openly, I might point out, but they were talking openly, and they were, you know, they're sharing ideas and so forth, which I think it's just really powerful for everybody involved. And actually it also helps the industry as a whole. It helps the quality of the industry and the quality of the work that comes out and so forth. So I think it's fantastic what you guys are doing. It's really, really, really good. And to start something and keep it up with family commitments and everything. It's not easy. It's not easy.
It was a steep learning curve because I'm an actor, so I didn't go to, you know, I didn't study business. I didn't study marketing. You know, I've just kind of learnt it all on the fly. And it's been a roller coaster ride. It definitely hasn't been kind of smooth sailing, but the high times have been, I mean, the good times, you know, have been amazing. And seeing people being able to quit their day jobs, being, you know, able to support their families, being able to follow their dreams and have careers. And that to me is amazing. And I love seeing that.
And that's where you are, Alan. That's where you're.
That's it.
So you're communications manager. Is that right, Alan?
That's right. Yeah.
So what do you do other than communicate and manage that?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. So my responsibility, I suppose, would be to make friends with other people in the industry. So people like yourself, Dave, I'd say is the primary role. But second to that is I invest a lot into the VoiceOver Network social media and handle the majority of the members' inquiries. So cool. I'd say that's a sort of brief overview of everything that I do.
Very good. He needs to do more, Rachel. You spoke on
that. He's doing an incredible job. So thank you, Alan.
I have to say, Alan's great. I deal directly with Alan, and he's always looked after me and helped me with various bits with our partnership, and he's been fantastic. So, yeah, it's very good.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. It's my pleasure. let's just talk about the industry a little bit now.
Yeah.
One of the things I alluded to in my rather extended introduction was that the industry is changing, and it has changed a lot over the last few years, and like all industries, actually. And as you rightfully point out, you know, there are still great agencies out there who are doing a fantastic job and really look after their artists.
Yes.
But, you know, they may not necessarily look and work within, you know, digital content. They may not necessarily work in film. They may just be dedicated to commercials or whatever the case may be. So it is now sort of important for each VO artist to have an understanding on how they get the work and what they need to do. So I suppose, do VO artists as a rule have an agent for the bigger work, if you like, and then work directly with other companies to do other work?
Yes. I mean, there are different ways of doing it, and absolutely. And I love agents, and I think agents, voiceover agents, are a very important part of our industry, and we really support them at the VoiceOver Network, as well as supporting the union and everyone. So, you know, but yes, there are different ways to get work in the voiceover industry now. And it's a very exciting time. The voiceover industry is booming, and there is tons of work. There's more work now than there has ever been. You know, with e-learning and audiobooks and video games, and it's all exploding. But there's also more voiceover artists now than there have ever been. So it is a very competitive environment. Now, agents can only take on a certain amount of voiceover artists, and they don't want to flood their books. So it is actually really difficult now to get agents. And agents do get the higher end stuff, absolutely. The big commercials, the big video games, they are getting those, and people are still going via them. But there's a lot of work that you can get yourself as a voiceover artist. And if you do have an agent, that's something you need to negotiate with them. Different agents work differently as to whether they take a cut or not. You always recommend that people communicate with their agents, because it's a very important business relationship. It's a partnership when you have an agent. But there is work that you can get on your own, and that's fantastic, because as a voiceover artist, what's really wonderful is that we can set up home studio. And I remember, you know, it was a long time ago that I set up my home studio, early days of home studios, and suddenly realizing the world was my oyster.
Yeah.
You can work with clients all around the world. There's nothing to stop that. And that's really, really exciting and very empowering. I mean, there are lots of things that you need to take into consideration. You know, time zone is always fun, middle of the night with my American clients, and rates and things like that. And cultural differences as well. you know, need to do all that. But it is really exciting that you can reach out and be a small fish in a big pond, a big fish in a small pond. Small fish in a big pond.
By the sounds of it.
Big fish in a small pond. Yeah. Well, yeah. But you know what I mean. So, you know, that's really exciting. So there are amazing opportunities out there. And
do people tend to work within a given genre? I noticed from a Vond meet last week that there was a young lady there that obviously works a lot in video games and just had that mindset, and I could see that, and it was fantastic. Actually, it was really, really good. Do people tend to work in certain areas, or I mean, of course, I'm going to see both of you are quite versatile, and you've worked across the board a fair bit. But do people specialize in particular areas?
People do. They do. I mean, yeah. So, and I always recommend to people to try and kind of hone in on a couple of areas of the industry that they really, in terms of when you're looking at marketing yourself and looking for clients. So when you're going out and working on your branding, you're working on your website, you're building your contact list, which everyone should be doing because you're a small business. I always think it's better if you can focus on two areas of the industry, because it helps you rather than kind of, if you know, there are so many different areas of the industry, it can be a bit overwhelming. People do, I think they do tend to kind of specialize. And I've spent a lot of my career doing commercials and promos and corporate. And then I went through a stage of doing a lot of documentaries. And now my real passion is video games. So I love working in video games because it's so much fun, and it's a really exciting industry. So I think, it helps to really look at all the different areas of the voiceover industry and think about which ones you want to work in. Because the other thing, you know, if you love sitting down and reading books, like audiobooks, if you love working in, you love reading books and you want to do audiobooks, that's a very niche specific area. And there are people I know who do voiceovers who won't do video games because they don't want to swear and shout and scream. So it is, there are a lot of options in the industry.
Excellent. And I suppose I'm just moving on and thinking about what we've all been through in the last few months, because you guys, or some of you guys, are used to being sort of stuck in a black box somewhere in your house, like poor Alan there. actually, it looks great in there, Alan. you're used to working from home. You're used to being isolated. But what has the lockdown meant for your members and the industry in general? Do you think there's been a bigger drive to that working from home?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's been fascinating and obviously very scary, and you know, and just to all that your listeners and watchers, you know, I hope you please stay safe, because it's been a really tough time. And I think, yes, we were, you know, Alan, we were prepared for this, really. We were probably one of the best industries prepared for this, because absolutely, so many of us had home studios, and it was just, and we were already working from home. But it is also, you know, it's still kind of tough not going out, and the, you know, the psychological strain on everyone, I think, has been massive. But in terms of our industry, I mean, there has been a sort of hierarchy, I think. I think, Alan, you'd agree with me on this, especially in the UK. America's slightly different, but in the UK, the agents in the UK are generally London-based, and they generally want you to be able to get to London, and their clients want you to be able to go into a physical studio and record. And that's been something that's been going on for a long time, and has been frustrating for a lot of the voiceover artists around the country who are setting up fantastic home studios and approaching agents and saying, look, I've got a great studio, I can work for you. And then they say, no, if you can't get to London within an hour, we won't sign you. And there was, so there's that. There were also the agents and producers in the industry who sort of looked down their nose at home studios, that's not good enough, and it's not professional, and it's not real. And no, you have to go into a proper studio and look somebody in the eye. There was a little bit of snobbery, I think, around home studios. But obviously, lockdown hit, and people with home studios, we were all like, oh, great, okay, so we'll just carry on. And the people who had been anti-home studios, and they were suddenly scrabbling around going, quick, right, everybody set up a home studio. So I know agents who were sending out kit, telling people to set up home studios. And these poor voice actors who had never had a home studio before were suddenly thrown into this, okay, we've got to set up a home studio. And I'm an actor, guys. So those watching, like, I'm totally with you. I am not technically minded or whatever it is. You know, I was told I wasn't technically minded when I was at college. But, I'm not a techie. I don't get excited about all that. I want to perform and I want to act. And yeah. So when I first started my home studio, I was terrified and I made loads of mistakes. And yeah, so it's very scary setting up a home studio when you don't feel like you're technical. So I think there was all of that going on. And so the Voiceover Network, we made sure that we supported people. We provided lots of workshops. That's when we started doing the Voiceover Hour live webinar, which was the home studio Ask the Experts. And that was in order to sort of help people and share information and provide experts for people. We've got a couple of workshops as well about setting up home studios.
I think it's worth pointing out the studios that we talked about where you were saying a few moments ago, where, you know, actors or voiceover artists are encouraged to go into, especially in central London. It isn't just the recording process. It's often there's editing, posts to be done.
Absolutely.
Which I suppose, you know, those studios, and actually that skill set is absolutely required depending on the project. You can absolutely be required or given the gig to deliver a piece of audio, whatever.
Yes.
But it might take a different skill set to take that and insert it into a commercial, a movie, a TV program, or whatever the case may be. So, in my mind, those studios are absolutely paramount.
Please don't think I'm not
qualifying it really.
There
is a sense, and you're right, if your home studio is set up correctly, then you can deliver virtually anything. These days, in the form of audio, at least, and at least deliver that to those studios if it has to be part of an ongoing production. So, it's quite interesting, isn't it? But with Studio Spares, absolutely felt the weight of all those pros who never had a home studio and were just sort of
thrown into the deep end.
Stuck, really.
I'd
like to buy this. Fantastic. Of course, we're there to sell, but we're also there to serve. So we spent a lot of time, you know, helping people, you know, push the right button, so to speak, once it was set up. So that we've seen that on the other side as well, I think. So it is interesting. So what does that mean moving forward now? So we've now that's been the case for the last 3 months, and as we sit here now, where are we? July 7th. We've just had some of the pubs open, so everybody's descended on Soho, which will probably be its own mini lockdown for the next 50 years, the way people acted over the weekend. But we're again in that really, we're in a bit of a state of limbo, actually, aren't we? We ought to go out, but we can't. We can meet a friend or a family member, but we can't gather. So we're still in lockdown in a sense, but we can see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. Yes. So now we've got all this gear and we've all invested and we've done everything. You know, number one, do you think the technical side is going to change post lockdown? Number two, do you think our workflow is going to change? The way we work with agents, the way we deliver, is that all going to change now? Have we all got used to being in this position and therefore feel that we can deliver the quality that we need to?
I think so. I think things will change. I think that some things will go back, and there'll always be a place for working in studios in London, especially on things like video games, and promos as well, when you've got documentaries and things. But I definitely feel like the industry has changed. The world has changed, and the world really has changed, and it was a weird one, you know, lockdown. We literally have shifted on our axis, and I think it's not going to go the world that we had. I think things like travel, and there's all sorts of things that are going to change, and I think for our industry, the positives are that the home studio, the level of home studios is increasing as well. Because there are more people, it means that we all have to make sure that our standards are, and I'm really passionate about that as well, which is part of why I set up the Voiceover Network, because I wasn't a technical person, but I wanted to to find out, and I wanted to create opportunities and help other people and help me as well, you know, and learn. So I think the industry has changed, but I do think things will go back. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, I mean, there's some good indicators at the moment. I feel like things are starting to level off a bit. When lockdown started, I had a lot of new contacts approaching me because of the fact that I have a home studio. Whereas I've seen that slow down a bit now. And for the first time the other day, my agent mentioned the possibility of having to go into a studio. Mm. So naturally, it's impossible to tell the future. But what I would probably assume, based on where we're at right now, is I think some clients will naturally stick to go into home studios just because it's easier and cheaper for them. But then, of course, others will try their very best to get things back to the old way or back to normal, whatever normal is.
Does that, with that in mind, Alan, do you feel that and sorry, this might sound like a leading question, but it's not meant to. Does this mean that you're going to invest more in your home setup? Do you feel that actually the way things are turning out, then it's probably better that you're well prepared with great gear, with great facility, great acoustics? That's not meant to be leading. That's not meant to be coming by. What I meant is, you know, has that changed that attitude for you?
I mean, my approach to my home studio is the same as it is on my garden or my house. There's always something more that I can do.
Garden sounds good then, does it?
Exactly, yeah.
Gardening, no.
Exactly. So there's always more that we can do, isn't there? And for me, every time I do something or I upgrade something in my home studio, I've always got the next thing in my mind of what I'd like to change. Right. Okay. So I suppose the answer to your question is yes.
Do you think there's anything that you could do technically that would help you widen the range of work that you get? I mean, for, you know, as a bass player, if I have a 5-string as well as a 4-string, then the chances are I will get gigs that, you know, that demand me to play anything below a low E, you know, and there, you know, that might be a more modern gig or whatever. So is there things within your studio that you think that you could do that would allow you to widen the range of work you get?
I think it's a really interesting question because my studio's had quite a lot of investment and I've had a lot of sound engineers tap in and visit it and help me design it. And so from that perspective, I feel quite confident about the studio. However, what I will say is from time to time, a client might have a particular need. So a very, very easy example is about 12 months ago, a client that I've got in America rang me and said, Alan, we've got this for you, but you're going to need to use Source Connect. Do you have Source Connect? My response is, on this call, no, I don't, but in about an hour, yes, I do. So I think it's really important to be versatile. And whenever somebody wants something like that, something specific, then it's my responsibility to learn it and to get on board with that.
So the delivery is actually, that's one of the key things I actually got from the cast that we did last week. The delivery formats are ever changing and widening in, you know, in their variety. So
as technology advances, I also feel like there's a real confidence element to having a home studio. And I think that's really important. As a voiceover artist, we are communicators. We use our voice to communicate. We take words, we process them and we take them out, just the same way that a musician does with takes notes, plays an instrument and creates a sound. We do that with our voice. But the thing about our voice is that you can't hide behind anything.
Yeah.
You're very, very naked actually when you are doing voiceovers, and it can be an incredibly intimate experience, you know, with you and the microphone. And it can be a very vulnerable place and it can be scary. And so the real key and something that, you know, something that I talk about a lot of the voiceover network is confidence.
Yeah.
You have to be confident in knowing what you're doing. And so having a home studio, if you aren't confident in what you're doing, if you're not confident in your equipment, you think, oh God, my microphone's a bit rubbish. Oh gosh, you know, my booth is a bit, it's terrible. I can hear lots of sound coming in. Oh gosh, there's a plane. Oh, you know, that breaks your rhythm and that affects your delivery.
Yeah.
So that does affect the way that you are as a voiceover artist. So And now I'm a big believer in getting started with what you've got. I always have been. And, you know, when I started, got my home studio, I remember I was looked down upon about from some people in the industry. Oh, no, wait a minute. You have to spend £4,000 on a booth to be a real home studio voiceover artist. And yeah. There I was with, you know, pillows and duvets. But I was getting started. And I believe that, you know, you have to start with what you've got. But I do also believe that we all need to move forward. And we need to continue to improve and better ourselves. And it doesn't matter how experienced you are, there's always more to learn. And there's always, you know, there's always further to go. Yeah. And I think having equipment and upgrading your home studio when you feel it's right, when you feel like, you know what, yes, I've done, you know, I've earned some money. I've got some money to reinvest into my business. I feel now is the time that I would like to have a better microphone, or I'd like to have better headphones, or I'm going to even take out a business loan and get a proper booth, you know, to stop that the sound of the lawnmowers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I really believe that, you know, as voiceover artists, we are businesses. We are small businesses, and you have to really look at it that you are a business, and when things are going well, great. Put some money aside to reinvest into your business. To help with your confidence and
yeah, and listen, I agree with you entirely. Performance first is everything.
Yeah. Yes,
you can have all the gear in the world, but if your performance is not there, you're just capturing a poor performance. So, you know, you can have all the gear and no idea, as somebody.
There we go. Yes. Yeah.
I agree with you entirely. Get your performance right, and then
yes,
you build from there, really. But superb. And we should point out the VoiceOver Network helps people be guided through all of this stuff, from the business to the gear, to technique, to, you know, how to improve yourself as a VO artist. So there's a lot in there. So how do people find out about the VoiceOver Network? Where do they go?
Yes, so as you said, yeah, we have a lot of workshops, a lot of training. And, I believe in continuous professional development. So we all need to continue to learn to be better as voiceover artists. And then that then raises the bar in the industry. So that's something I'm really passionate about. So come and check out the VoiceOver Network. It's thevoiceovernetwork.co.uk. You can come and see what we're all about, see what we're up to. We've got lots of, if you go to the events tab, you can see some of the workshops we've got coming up.
Yeah.
We have a home studio setup workshop. We've got some complete, you know, getting into voiceovers, a complete guide to getting started. So if you're just starting out, then you can come and do it. We've got a 4-week online course. And if you'd like to join the VoiceOver Network, what we'll do for you is those who are watching, we'll do a special offer. There's a joining fee, which we'll remove, and we'll do a very special offer for first month. We'll make it just £5. So you'll put the link, I guess.
You'll be able to get to the VoiceOver Network no matter how you're watching this. So if it's on YouTube, then the link will be below.
Yes,
I'm doing that. Hoping this is where my I'll probably be off the side somewhere. And certainly, you if you're watching it on our site, on our blog, then of course all the details are below anyway. So I would highly recommend that you at least go and investigate. Even if you don't join, just go and check it out. Join for the drinks party, if not, it's well worth it. seriously, do join if it's something that interests you. I think there are many more voiceover artists out there that don't know that they're voiceover artists yet, personally. Go and check it out. It's really it's a brilliant organization. And thank you so much for spending time with us today. I really do appreciate it, Rachel and Alan. And I hope to see you guys soon. And thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having us. And thank you everybody for watching. And please stay safe as well, as I said, you know, with what's going on at the moment.
The musicians,
take care of yourself. Stay safe. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much. And it is wonderful having Studio Spares as a partner to the VoiceOver Network. So.
Thank you, Rachel. All right, guys, we'll see you soon again. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.